now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is a podcast from The Times, sports newspaper of the year. Welcome to The Games. I'm Chris Skinner, here to help you impress your friends with your Olympics knowledge. Today, Patrick Kidd has the latest from the rowing at Dorney Lake. He'll tell you how many rowing medals we're going to win this Games. Lizzie Orcutt is coming from the Times Pictures desk. She's going to tell you how many thousands of photos the Times have to deal with every day. And Jenny MacArthur will report back from an amazing eventing session at Greenwich Park. Yesterday, Alison Rudd predicted bronze in the men's team gymnastics, saying,
"Most people who followed British male gymnastics would have said that, you know, Lewis Smith, great bloke, probably do something on the pommel, but as a team we're weak." But they really did rise to the occasion.
And she was spot on, not without some incredible twists and turns on the way, both on the floor and on the score sheets. You've been in touch, tweeting using the hashtag MyOlympics. Marcos Longoria says foosball should be in the Olympics. Well, if there's a campaign for darts, you never know. We'll have a few more of those later. Let's start at Dorney Lake. I asked rowing correspondent Patrick Kidd for some first impressions.
It's all gone very well. There were 13 events that we were in. We've won the heats in 8 of them, and we've had pretty much safe progress in the others. It's starting to look like this is going to be a real medal rush, probably gold rush for Britain from this sport. And the atmosphere down at Dorney has been absolutely fabulous. It's been great to be there for a few days.
And later on today, we have the last qualifying for final positions, don't we?
Yeah.
Who do we expect today to impress?
Well, the lightweight four. Now the lightweight four, because there's a weight limit, a maximum size they can all be, is often very, very close racing, tenths of seconds dividing them. But in the last year, Britain has become a dominant force. They won the final World Cup of the season in Munich by 2.5 seconds, which is a massive gap, Usain Bolt-esque. And then in their heat, they won that by 2 seconds for the Olympics. So they're through to the semi-finals.
We can't ignore what will happen in the days after that. This is somewhere where Team GB should really start rocketing up the table thanks to the rowing, isn't it? Let's start with the Wednesday finals. I'd like to start with Greg Searle and the men's eight.
Well, the eight is always used to end the regatta. It was sort of the blue ribbon event. They put it up first here, and this could be a cracking race. Basically, Germany are the top team. They've not lost a race since the last Olympics. But Britain will be getting closer and closer and closer. They've got a real mixed bag in their eight of backgrounds and ages. We've got Greg Searle, a 40-year-old who won a gold 20 years ago with his brother Johnny in the coxed pairs. And then right down to Constantine Leloudis, the stroke man, the key seat, who is only 20. He's at Oxford University. He's taken a year out of his undergraduate degree to see if he could get into the Olympics. Never done a senior season before. And he got in, and he is regarded as a bright thing. You know, if he doesn't win gold this time, then he's going to be a shoo-in for Rio and for wherever we are in 2020. He is the future of British rowing. But Greg Searle's still there, sitting 2 seats behind him. I think silver probably is what the eight will get, but you just never know. They've been looking better and better.
Where's the first gold coming from? Is it going to be the men's and women's doubles? Is there something before that?
Well, the first final of the regatta is the women's pair, and in women's rowing, Britain has never had an Olympic champion, and everyone's thinking maybe Catherine Granger on Friday, finally after 3 silvers. But we've got a fabulous chance, the women's pair. A young couple called Heather Stanning and Helen Glover, neither of whom was really rowing 4 years ago, and they only came together in 2010 as a crew. They've been fabulous, unbeaten this year, and the way they race their heat, they really look champions. So I'm all up for them. They come from opposite ends of the country, one's from Cornwall, one's from Scotland. Great backgrounds, and I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about them.
And the crowd obviously played their part with Hamadou Djibou Issaka. I think that's, we've roughly got the name right there.
I think we've got the name, yes.
Tell me about him.
Well, he's a rower from Niger, a sculler. He's had a fabulous reception in his two races so far. He says he'd only taken up sculling 3 months ago. I think there's been a little bit of doubt cast on that recently, but it's still, he's very much a novice in international terms from a country that doesn't produce scullers. And he came over here with a wild card entry, which they give to developing nations. And in his first heat of the single scull, he was up against Mahe Drysdale, 5 times world champion, and Olaf Tufte, who's won 2 Olympic crowns. So pretty dominating, daunting field. And he finished well back, you know, 400 metres behind. But he was given such a great reception. And quite enchantingly, he said afterwards that his hope that he will generate rowing in his country. I'm going to go back. It all starts now to build up Niger as a rowing country. All we need to do is get some boats.
Well, a lot of people don't think about what happened after 2000 with Eric Thiel. I don't know how familiar you are with his story.
Well, he wasn't allowed to qualify, was he?
Well, he wasn't. There was a visa bungle which stopped him, apparently, in 2004. He became a much better swimmer,
yes,
and is now a swimming coach. So some good does come from these wild card entries, in that a guy who turned up as a novice has gone on now, hopefully, to inspire many more people.
Well, Djibou Issaka is not a bad sculler by, you know, most of the people who are in the crowd at Dorney are going to be rowers themselves, and most of them won't be hitting the times that he hit.
Yes.
He is an athlete. He's just a long, long way behind the elite. If he can go back, and if his story can revive or ignite rowing in Africa, that would be fabulous. We'd hopefully see a few more nations with chances maybe in Rio.
And I want you to finish by wildly speculating before we have any finals. How many medals, how many golds for Team GB?
There were 13 events we're in. I think we've got a very good chance of a medal in 11, but I'm going to go for 9 medals, 4 golds.
I've written that down, and we'll and we'll bring this back up in a couple of days.
The official
days
target is 4 to 6, so it's the battle between the people who want their funding and the people who get journalists who get overexcited and optimistic.
Patrick Kidd, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm joined now by the Times equestrian correspondent Jenny MacArthur. Jenny, you're at an incredible day in the cross-country of the eventing yesterday. I want to start, though, with Greenwich Park. I'm so impressed with this as an Olympic venue. What are your thoughts?
It has been had the wow factor, which is what everybody said it would have. And everything, the course, the cross-country course, the arena, have been praised. The only criticism would be on the cross country today. It was slippery, and the horses had to take great care around the corners, which had quite a bearing on the competition.
Well, there were a few accidents, weren't there?
There were a few accidents, and some of those were due to slipping up on the corners, and also after the fences, which was a shame. But there will always be falls and such in an Olympic competition.
Now the medals are dished out tomorrow, but to the novice, explain what the eventing process is from start to finish.
Right, there are 3 phases, and it starts with the dressage, which then is followed by today's cross country. And it finishes with the show jumping. There are 2 rounds of the show jumping today. The first, this morning, is to decide the team medals. And then the 25 top riders from the team competition go forward for the individual competition in the afternoon. And that decides the medals for the individual riders.
And there are several Brits in the top 25 at the moment, aren't there?
It's incredibly exciting. We've got Christina Cook on Miner's Frolic, a horse who very nearly died last year through a colic-related injury illness. She is now lying 5th. And Mary King, who's in her 6th on her 6th Olympic Games, is lying in 6th place on Imperial Cavalier. And the great thing is that we are quite good at show jumping. And so if any of the ones ahead of them make a mistake, we could well creep up into the individual medals, as Christina did in Beijing 4 years ago when she was outside the medals, but 2 perfect show jumping rounds saw her get the bronze medal.
What's going to happen? Can you see medals being dished out?
Yes, I think that both Germany are in the lead, but they are only the cost of two show jumping fences ahead of Britain for the team competition. Now, we are normally, I don't like to tempt fate, but we are normally reliable show jumpers. And should Germany and their overnight leader, who's Ingrid Klimke, really lovely person, so again, I feel sad even saying this, but her horse is not a noted show jumper, and it did crash out at the European Championships last year with a lot of mistakes on the show jumping. So much as we all love Ingrid, I think, should she make mistakes, and should Great Britain have clear rounds, we could get this coveted gold medal, which we've been trying to win back ever since Munich in 1972.
Well, we'll have our fingers firmly crossed. Jenny, thanks so much for that, and enjoy the events today.
Thank you very much.
I'm joined now by Elizabeth Orcutt, who is the Deputy Picture Editor here at The Times. I wanted to talk to someone from your desk, because I sit very near you in the office at The Times, and it has gone crazy since the Olympics started. I mean, this must be the busiest time ever for you guys.
Yes, I think you could, I think you could safely say that, yes.
Give me a scale of the amount of pictures you're having to deal with.
OK, so on a normal working day in a 24-hour period, we'd have around 18,000 to 20,000 pictures, and by early evening yesterday, we'd had 29,000 images.
29,000? Yes. I can't even fathom how you would start a process where you can get from run-of-the-mill picture to one that may end up on the front page of the paper.
Well, I think part of it is I'm looking at panes of pictures, about 9 to 12 pictures on a pane. You get very quick at scrolling through, and actually it's the thing that catches your eye. And also, as the day goes by, the story becomes apparent.
Yeah.
So then you go back over it and you start drilling down and actually looking for the image that you want. So it's a combination of things that catch your eye, which will be the quirky, out-of-the-way kind of stuff, and then somebody great does something amazing and you then review all the images of that person.
And nothing like the Olympics can provide the photos that demonstrate the full range of human emotion, can they? Everything from, you know, joy, despair, agony, anger.
Yeah, and there's something about sports photography practitioners. I don't know, it's something to do with them. They have this special ability to slow action down in their minds, and they'll go into an event with a very strong idea of the image that they want to pull out of it. So they're fantastic at forward thinking and anticipating what the image might be and making the image.
I know Graham Hughes said that he had watched Jessica Ennis train so much that for when he was taking photos of her, he'd know exactly that move as she went over the hurdle,
yes,
or over the,
yes,
high jump.
Yes,
and that,
exactly,
that demonstrates,
yes,
that. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And also, you know, things like, my background is equestrian sport. So I know what outline the horse should be in, and yeah, I know at which point, you know, where to stand to make it look good. And, you know, you learn that. And sports photographers are really, really good at that. I suppose because the sport is contained in a particular area and they can move around it. I don't know. Maybe it's less random.
Well, enjoy the equestrian later on today. There could be a defining moment,
yes,
there.
Yes, so absolutely, definitely.
It helps when you have a royal on the horse, doesn't it?
Yes, of course. Yes, yes.
Elizabeth, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Some more of your messages using the MyOlympics hashtag now. Nick Petrie says, sensational from our gymnasts. Calm under pressure, delivered when it mattered. They certainly did. And Stacey Marie Dove says, just seeing their feet hanging over the edge makes me feel dizzy. Hashtag diving. Dizzy and sick, maybe. One of the low points of the games was seeing poor Tom and Pete crash out. Please send your own Olympics thoughts over and we'll read as many as we can on tomorrow's programme. The Times has a fantastic iPad app. If you're listening via this, you'll already know. If not, why not try it out? This, for example, has some pictures attached to it. You can go to timespacks.co.uk, where there are various excellent offers to suit your needs and reading habits. The podcast is also available as an MP3 in iTunes. Our next show will be with you tomorrow morning. The iPad edition updates at 5 a.m, 5 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. every day of the games. Enjoy the action today. Goodbye.
Thank you.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.